Yes, it is hour number two of Garden Talk. I'm so glad you asked. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. She's arranging her hair right now because the microphone's being turned on. Yes, you look perfect for radio. You may call us now in the Chaos Arto Greenhouse, as many of you have called us since 1987, and we're delighted to be celebrating our 30th anniversary coming up in 2017, which is pretty daggone exciting. 636-1350. Trust in us. We've been doing this for a while. Or steve@ksro.com. We'd love to hear from you this hour. At 11:05, it's Chef John Ash, and we welcome the culinary wizard Ali Buzari, magnificently educated, schooled PhD culinologist. He is a culinary wizard, and he has a brand new cookbook just out, and we'll tell you all about that book and get a chance to pick the brain of Ali Buzari on the Good Food Hour today. Scott, thanks very much for holding. Why don't you start us off? Let's see. What line would Scott be on? Let me find out. Make sure. Oh, no, wait. No, wait. No, this is Pam. Pam is here, right? I think we got Pam from Santa Rosa. She's starting us off with hour number two. Pam, what can we do for you on Garden Talk this morning? Hi, Pam.
Hi. Lavender.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a new place, and there are lavenders all around, and it seems they don't bloom. Can we prune them to take off the dead blooms, or what?
Well, that's what should be done after the plants have finished blooming. You just go out and you shear them back, and you take off about 1 or 2 inches of the leaves to keep the plant a little more compact so it doesn't get leggy and woody looking. It'll prevent the plant from getting leggy and woody looking sooner than later. So are these lavenders in full sun all day long?
Yes.
Okay, and they're about how old, do you think?
Oh, my. About 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's, what do you call it, amazing that the lavenders have lasted that long, a world record. They usually last and look good for like 3 to 5 years on average. So if those were my plants, I would just pull them out and replant them with new plants in the springtime.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it now. Lavenders, you know, sometimes when they get too much rain, they get a little bit of root rot and the leaves turn a little bit black and they don't look very good. So I would wait, leave them there right now until springtime, pull them out and plant new ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Are they looking woody now? Are they kind of flopping here and there?
Just a lot of dead blooms.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign that they bloomed. I mean, if you want to take and do an experiment and just prune them back now, get your hedge shears, like those, you know, hedge shears, and just chop, 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 and cut off all the dead stems. And go into the foliage a little bit. See what they do then in the summer. They're not going to bloom until summertime.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll see the new little shoots coming up. And, gee, maybe you can get another year out of them if they're not looking bad. You know, I shouldn't be so hasty in saying, you know, pull them out. But if they're looking good, keep them. If not, pull them out and plant new ones.
Okay.
And let us know. I'd love to know what they look like next summer.
Okay. I have another question. I've discovered too that drying flowers in the water, right? And what's that called?
Drying stems. So instead of just letting them sit out, you know, in a jar and air drying, you're putting them in water, but they're not rooting or anything. They're just, they're going to just retain, they'll just retain their color and all that. I don't know if it's called anything. I'm sure somebody's got a name for it. But some stems do better than others in that kind of drying thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the stems get too moldy and they start rotting, and then you don't have a stem to have for your, you know, saved flowers. So, you know, I would just get some containers, you know, thin stems like a soda container, bottle or something, and you can put your individual stems in there or a few of them and let them dry naturally like that. And if you pick the flowers at the right time, they'll stay like that. If you pick them when they're too far gone, then they just crumble and disintegrate. And or if they're too young, they don't amount to anything.
Thanks for your call, Pam. We need to take a call from Sue, who, believe it or not, also has a question about lavender, Gwen. How about that? Hi, Sue. Welcome to Garden Talk. Good morning.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Sure. I came outside here to look at the trees as I ask a question. You answered my lavender question. Mine are young. They're only a year old, and they look great. I haven't done any pruning back other than each in little stem, like she said. But do I cut, when she says shear, does she mean cut totally off? So they're like a... Oh. These are about almost 3 feet, no, 2.5 feet tall. Do I cut them back to a foot?
And... No.
Oh.
Nope. You'll, you know those head shears that, you know, they look like oversized scissors?
Yes.
Yeah,
those shear, what are like, they're not head shears, they're...
Head shears, that's what I call them.
Okay, so they look like those big scissors. Yeah. You could just cut, and keep that natural mounded shape of the plant.
Okay,
but
yeah.
go cut okay. about 2 to 3 inches of the leaves.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you still have the bulk of the plant there, and
sure.
then it'll stay a little bit more compact and full looking because you've taken off some of those leaves.
Okay. That's good. Okay. That's, I can do that. Now on the tree, my, oh gosh, I left my little paper inside. I bought, some oil spray, copper spray to spray. I didn't do it yet. And then you mentioned the cloud cover. Should I put the copper spray on it first and let it dry and then do the cloud cover over it?
What tree are you talking about?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I have a Granny Smith persimmon and a nectarine that I planted and a lemon I put in this year. So they're babies and they haven't been pruned. He said, my gardener said, we don't prune them back and they look crazy because they haven't been any pruning. So you said to prune back now. So what do you think I should do?
The only tree I would worry about spraying is your nectarine tree. And that you would spray for the peach leaf curl if that was an issue last year or the year before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So to be on the safe side, you're going to spray your nectarine tree. But you're going to prune first. Because why spray and then prune later and you take off half your spray?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, there's no rush to get any pruning done. So your citrus, I wouldn't do any pruning now until springtime.
Okay.
But it doesn't like, what citrus do you have? Lemon? Orange?
Meyer lemon.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't like the frost, especially, you know, really cold temperatures that could do a lot of damage to the top part of the plant and the tips and all that. So get a few layers of frost cloth and put it over the plant. Burlap bags from Sonoma Mission Gardens that Dave has. And
it's only 24 inches tall in the ground, and I've been putting a cloth over it. I've got the ground. I just bought the new stuff, the good cloth. So I should put two layers over it. I have like a screening around it so it props it up.
Oh, good, good.
So that'll help it. Okay, how about I'm looking at the apple tree leaf has like these black spots on the leaf. Is that anything bad? I'm taking some of the knocking some of these leaves off because they're dead, but they're not falling.
Yeah, it could be apple scab.
Okay.
Which,
should I spray it?
I mean, you have to spray in the springtime with some sulfur, which I don't. Some of my trees have apple scab. I just deal with it because I have bees on my property, and I don't like using that sulfur spray
around
bees.
Yeah.
So clean up. Take all the leaves off your tree when you're pruning. Rake them up off the ground. Put some mulch underneath the soil.
Yeah.
I mean, underneath the tree.
Yeah.
About 2 to 3 inches thick. That'll help smother any of the spores or old leaves that have just disintegrated. And, you know, it'll smother those small spores, hopefully.
Okay.
Yes, it is also in the tree, but you can only do what you can do. And the apples are still edible. As long as you don't have a real severe scab problem where...
No, I only have about 3 leaves with these little black spots on it. Yeah.
Good. No worries.
Good.
And check out some of the nurseries or the Master Gardener Library series about pruning fruit trees.
Okay.
Before you have your gardener touch anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried, because he, you know, he's not into the pruning, and God almighty, one of them had little leaves at the bottom, a big, bare 3-foot span, and then at the top some leaves. I said, well, shouldn't we cut it back? They were... in the bag, they were bare root, And it said cut them back. I think Robert Keurig book said you cut them back when you plant them, and we didn't. So it's like 9 feet tall, and it's got no leaves on the darn thing in the middle. So, I mean, it's starting off poorly, I guess. So I cut that back. I mean, will I go back on that one?
It's hard to say because I can't see it.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to send us a good photo, and then I could take a look at it before the end of the show or next week. But that would even be a good question at one of these pruning classes that you go to.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And there's that great book, if you can find it at the nurseries, they sell it, How to Prune Fruit Trees by R. Sanford Martin. It's a tiny little book. It's very inexpensive. That's an excellent, excellent pruning book.
All right.
But don't let anybody do any pruning unless they know what they're doing.
I know. That's the key. Okay. I won't. So it's not crucial then if I don't prune those today and spray them with cloud cover?
No cloud cover. Nobody needs cloud cover except your citrus. But if you're doing a good job by covering it with that frost cloth, might not need anything.
Okay. Well, that's great. Oh, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You.
Just don't let anybody prune those trees.
No. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice hearing from you. We'll talk with, we'll talk to a couple people. How about that, Gwen? We'll come back from this break. What do you say? You're up for it?
Let's go.
Okay, we'll talk to Sandy. We'll talk to Linda. Don't go away. 636-1350 if you want to reach us. And for Sue, if she wants to shoot us a photo of the nectarine, it's Steve at ksro.com. Well, she said the nectarine needed pruning, didn't she?
I thought it was an apple.
I thought it was nectarine.
Whatever tree that doesn't have any branches on it.
Either one or both of them. Yep. Steve at ksro.com. That is the Garden Talk Show website, email, you name it. If you want to contact us, Steve at ksro.com.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour with Steve Garner, Saturday mornings 9 to noon on 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
You've heard about reverse mortgages 100 times on TV, but have you ever heard the whole story? Hi, I'm David Carter, NMLS ID 540322. I've been in the mortgage industry for 12 years, and I specialize in reverse mortgages. If you're 62 or older and you own your home, let's talk. Simply tell me your needs and goals, and I can explain how this great financial tool works. Call me at 707-235-8786 for an appointment. Santa Rosa is my home, and this is where I've guided people like you through the process for 12 years. There's no obligation, so call 707-235-8786 to learn more.
Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS 1019941. Full licensing at nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Not available to Hawaii and New York residents. Terms and conditions apply. Reverse mortgages are first mortgages. A reverse mortgage is a home secured debt payable upon default or maturity event. Call 973-842-2448 or 888-494-0882. Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California Finance Lender's Law license.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRO, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
In a time of so much violence here and abroad, it's encouraging and gratifying to know that we're doing something to make the world safer. Through Community Matters programs and services, more young people every day are speaking up and intervening when they encounter their peers bullying, cyberbullying, or harassing others. Community Matters is locally based in Sonoma County, and founder Rick Phillips is working hard to empower more young people in and out of schools to create a social revolution where it's no longer cool to be cruel. KSRO and the Amaturo Sonoma Media Group wants to acknowledge the great work done by Sonoma's Community Matters and thank founder Rick Phillips for creating a safe place for kids.
Since 1982, Jackson Family Wines has put the same care into their employees, communities, and natural resources as they have into producing world-class wines.
Sustainability is the root of their vision of good land, water, and energy management. Jackson Family Wines was honored for their commitment to renewable energy with the 2016 Green Power Leadership Award by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Jackson Family Wines is also dedicated to being good community partners. Last year, they implemented Rooted for Good, a Jackson Family Wines volunteer program that gives their employees time to volunteer at local nonprofits. Learn more at jacksonfamilywines.com.
Tis the season for picking the perfect Christmas tree. And right now you'll find the perfect fresh cut tree conveniently located at the Home Depot. These farm fresh trees are ready for you to wander through them and choose just the right one to bring the holidays home. They range from 5 to 10 feet tall, and they're ready to be lit, decorated, and have songs sung around them. Perfect. Fresh cut Christmas trees, ready right now at the Home Depot. More safe, more do it. Assortment varies by store, see store for details.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Okay, now don't get lazy. We want you to heed our frost warning. It's been in the upper 30s the last few weeks, but now, Monday, Tuesday, we're looking at freezing temperatures, 32, 33, maybe even 30, maybe into upper 20s. We're not quite sure Monday and Tuesday. So this is the time to get prepared to cover and protect those fragile plants in your landscape. Sandy, I think, is going to address that right now. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Morning.
I'm calling from Forestville, and first of all, I want to thank you for the station's wonderful programming, especially your show. I just happened to stumble upon it this summer, and I've been listening this morning, and I just was wondering, two questions. You mentioned covering plants with cloud cover. How about old bed sheets, or what other materials can you use to prevent it from freezing?
You could use bed sheets if you don't have them sitting on top of the plant.
Okay.
Sue said that she has like a framework that she put around her, or case or something around her small citrus plant, and then she just drapes her frost cloth over that. So you can do that with the bed sheeting, blankets,
and you can
burlap,
use a ready-made
anything.
Cage like a tomato cage.
Yeah.
Which works out very well.
Yeah, depending
okay.
on how big your plant
that's
is.
That's right.
But if
got small ones if you have
I've
small.
Got some big ones. Oh. I've got a hydrangea that's as big as a small car.
Okay, wait. The hydrangea. The just your garden mum hydrangea?
Oh, it's a beautiful old blue hydrangea that's been transplanted a couple times further away from the house.
Okay, so.
And it was here when I bought the property 16 years ago. It's just gorgeous. So it dies back and it comes back yeah. when it freezes, but I would like to keep it from not, you know, looking limpy all winter. So
okay, well, you need to do some pruning on that, and that plant handles the snow. That loves
okay.
the cold weather. So the colder it gets, the more flowers it gets.
The more it likes it. Okay,
yes.
Don't protect it. All right. Then
right.
the little lemon tree I need to. And you mentioned there's a special kind of cloth that you can buy.
Yes. Just,
if you put gauze on top of these plants, would that protect it? I work in San Francisco, and I commute every day. So sometimes I always leave in the dark and come home usually in the dark. And I don't want to have to worry about taking the put on to keep it.
That's the frost cloth.
Frost cloth.
It's very lightweight. It's lighter weight than cheesecloth.
Oh, okay.
And you can buy it by different lengths at the nurseries. I like to put 2 or 3 layers over it just to make sure, because I get down into the low 20s where I am. So I really want to make sure that my lemon is protected. So if you throw it over the top of your plant and kind of anchor it down on the four corners so the wind doesn't blow it off,
mm-hmm.
Tie it to some branches or something, because mm-hmm. I didn't anchor. Well, I put little weights on the four corners of the plant as I draped it over, but then the strong wind came and it acted like a parachute. And it just took off.
Yeah.
So I tied the corners to some of the branches so it can't go anywhere.
Okay.
And that you don't have to take on and off all the time. It's light enough and lightweight and light enough where the light can get through it.
Great.
And then the rain hits it, that's okay. You know, it'll dry up at some point. So it's not like putting burlap or sheets or something where it's going to get too heavy and waterlogged and weigh the plant down. And then once that material sits on the plant, sometimes it does cause some frost damage anyway. So if you have bed sheeting and if you can keep it off of your plants, then go ahead and use that. Spray the plant first with this cloud cover. It's a product that you can buy in the nurseries, and it's an antitranspirant.
Uh-huh.
And you mix it with water and you spray it on the plant, and it helps. It makes a little barrier on the leaves to prevent the frost from getting in there and freezing the leaves.
Okay.
So that's good to use before you go ahead and put your frost cloth on. That way you've got a double protection.
Sounds like a good plan. And any nursery would have this?
Yeah.
Yeah, home improvement stores, nurseries sell it. There's different grades. Some are guaranteed for a year or two. The higher density ones, the thickness, you can even go 2 or 3 years. Eventually, they do degrade, but we've had ours for about 2 or 3 years. We have two large ones that we use on our citrus trees, and they have strapping at the bottom where we can actually hook the straps under the bottom branches of our citrus tree, which prevents wind from lifting it and it ending up over in your neighbor's yard.
And my neighbors would appreciate it.
They probably would. They go, what frost cloth? We didn't see your frost cloth, and there it is on their trees. But I like to do what we started doing last year was adding two layers.
Okay.
Two layers, because this is razor thin, and we're keeping it in place because it allows sunlight and it allows moisture. It doesn't suffocate.
Yeah,
it doesn't suffocate the plant.
Yeah.
And we went through without any frost damage last year, and it got into the 20s last year.
We've had some really cold winters here, but in Forestville, I'm up in the banana belt here, and Santa Rosa may get 3 or 4 degrees colder than we get, but that was one of the questions, major questions I had. So if I need to buy a lot of this, nursery store will have it.
I would just say certainly you want to patronize our local stores. We can also look online. I ended up, because I had a lot of purchases, I bought it online. And to save some money, and it seemed like, even if you don't want to buy online, you can certainly get educated with all the different kinds of frost cloth that are available. There's many commercial ones that, of course, are more expensive. But I think most garden shops, home stores would have what you really need.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they should, because that we need it, and they have it for us. You know, we could buy it right here.
Okay. So, well, I'll need it because we're going to supposedly get a frost Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah. That's correct.
And the second question is, do you have any CDs of your garden programs that you've, minus the commercials, of course, that people can purchase? Because I think it would be something that it's a great educational tool. I'm a teacher, and I appreciate more the interactive kind of discussions that happen on the air, and I think it's a wonderful tool for.
Well, we will certainly present that to the people that make such decisions. I think it's a wonderful idea. Pine Bark, our producer, could whip together a best of Garden Talk probably just in his spare time while he's doing several other things, and we could make that available.
Edit out the commercials.
I think
that would make a great package to sell.
But in the meantime, we have podcasts.
Right, that's true. The podcasts are available, but we don't have like a year's worth. We could go through best of. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I don't like the Garrison Keillor show. Okay, well, thank you again for the wonderful program your station provides. And I'm going to go get some frost cloth.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon. So, thanks, Sandy.
Don't forget the cloud cover.
Yeah, cloud cover
that's
too.
Bright.
The cloud cover too. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Nice talking with you. Let's talk to Linda for a moment before we take a break. Linda, welcome to Garden Talk. Thanks for holding for a bit, Linda. What can we do for you on Garden Talk?
Okay. I thought I heard you guys say something about wood ashes mm-hmm. in the garden.
Yeah.
And we have a fireplace, and I just cleaned it out yesterday, and I haven't done anything with them. And I thought if I could put them in my garden somewhere, is that okay?
Yeah, just walk around the garden. You have them in a bucket, with a handle. You get a little trowel, and you just, scoop some up, and you sprinkle. I would walk backwards, looking where you're going, of course, but I would walk backwards as I'm sprinkling it, because I've done it many times, walking forward and sprinkling it, and it's all over my pants and my shoes. So I've learned to walk backwards. I look where I'm going. I got a clear spot, and I sprinkle. Get down a little bit low, because if you're tall like me and you sprinkle, a lot of it kind of blows. So get down low and, 2 feet from the ground and just sprinkle. If you have vegetables growing where they're getting attacked by snails or slugs, that's a good deterrent. They don't like to go through that stuff. But when it rains and it disappears, then, you have to reapply. Just don't put too many ashes in one area, because depending on what wood you're using, can eventually change the pH of your soil.
So, okay, and that was what I was going to ask you, too. It's mostly oak that we burn, but Could I sprinkle a little bit of that in my strawberry plants too?
Sure, you can use it anywhere. Anywhere. Okay. You just don't throw scoopfuls on the ground. Just spread it out very thin like a dusting, you know, and then you can go back later and put another dusting. If you have your whole yard, you can cover. You know, a little goes a long way. And but yet, if you use a lot of wood through the winter, you might have an awful lot. Save some. Get a metal garbage can, whatever size you want, and put your ashes in that and store it out of the rain. And then you can use those ashes during the growing season when the snails and slugs
that's
come out again.
Oh, so perfect.
You've got
that's
that available.
Great.
Yeah. So, yes, you can do that. So, but
thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Linda.
Nice talking with you, Linda. And, Lynn, let's squeeze in your call before we take our break because you've been on hold for a while also. Good morning, Lynn. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO.
Yes. Hi. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very well. Thank you, Lynn.
Good, good. Kind of rippy out. I wanted to ask you guys, I have this plant, and it grows a beautiful white flower, and it just has one stem that comes up, but at the base of it is where the other ones come out. Now, I've got babies growing down around the base, and I'm not sure how to take them off, if I should slice them, pull them off. I don't want to ruin them because I want to hand them out to family members, but I'm not sure quite how to do it. I've read books about it, and I can't find anything where it tells you can take off where you can. How you can take off the babies off the base of a main plant without ruining it.
But you don't know the name of this plant?
I don't. It's a beautiful, it almost looks like a, it almost looks like a, what do you want to call it? Like a naked lady has that kind of, you know, the petals on it, but it's just one stem that comes, and it's got all these beautiful white flowers, you know, they're big ones. And I think it's more of a, like a botanical kind of plant, but it's gorgeous, and it, the plant, I mean, the stem itself, to grow another flower, comes off the base of it, so it has to grow off the side of it. But there's new babies growing off, and I'd like to get them off.
I don't know what to tell you until I know what plant that is, because I'd hate to give you some wrong information.
Okay, is there any way you can take a photo of it and send it to us?
I think, yes, I can do that. I can do that.
Why don't you snap a photo of us and just send it to us now, steve@ksro.com. It's simple as that, and we'll have a look at it.
Okay, that would be great because there's four of them growing. My family, I have friends that love them, and I want to give one out, you know, give one to each family member, you know, and so they can appreciate and enjoy the plant too.
Well, as soon as we get a look at it, we'll let you know, okay?
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. You guys have a nice day. You
Thanks very much.
Go take that photo now.
Go take the photo and send it to us. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Ian Clark, and this is the home of the Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
The holidays are here, and there's no better place to help you create the perfect environment than the Gift Horse in Healdsburg. Whether it's table, kitchen, or home decor, we can inspire the decorator in you. Hi, I'm Carol, owner of the Gift Horse. I invite you to come see all the beautiful and hard-to-find items we've added this year.
Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Our store is packed with great gifts this year. At the Gift Horse, you'll find something for everyone on your list. Come in and see our magical Christmas displays and enjoy festive shopping. We offer gift wrapping and plenty of free parking.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garrity's Hardware in Healdsburg.
Home decor and more.
Open every day 9 to 6.
Hi everybody, it's Melanie Morgan here, and I'm just wondering, would you do your own root canal or take out your own appendix? Well, of course you wouldn't. You would rely on a professional. So what about planning for your retirement? Investing, reallocation, choosing the right financial products, staying on top of the market, figuring out your risk level, or calculating income stream. The health of your financial future deserves to be handled by a professional. Talk to an advisor at Vitucci & Associates. The first consultation is complimentary. Get a professional opinion on the health of your financial goals. Vitucci & Associates has been helping folks just just like you for decades. To schedule your free consultation, call 800-472-8305 or go to don'tinvestandforget.com. Do it today. That's don'tinvestandforget.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through NPC, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Battucci & Associates Insurance Services and NPC are unrelated.
Better business through better advertising. An advertising tip for small business owners by international marketing expert Matt Hackett.
If you're trying to advertise your business, it can feel very expensive. One of the reasons for that is that many advertisers mistakenly believe that trying to reach as many people as possible with their ads is always the aim. In reality, there are really two important factors to consider: how many people hear your ad and how many times they hear it. Advertising works best by repeating a message to someone enough that they remember it, and that can take much more repeating than you might think. Ask yourself, how many times do you have to hear or see a commercial before you remember the advertiser? If your ads aren't remembered, it really doesn't matter how many people you're reaching. So when buying advertising, keep this in mind. It's better to advertise more often to less people than less often to more people. And that can often save you money, too.
For more tips, go to ariaconnect.com. That's ariaconnect.com.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
China isn't happy. President-elect Trump defied a more than 40-year-old White House policy and accepted a phone call from the president of Taiwan. Authorities in Akron, Ohio, looking for a cause in a house fire that killed two adults and two young girls. A woman escaped by jumping from a third-floor attic window. Bo Bergdahl wants President Obama to pardon him before he leaves office. The former prisoner of war is accused of endangering his fellow soldiers by walking off his post in Afghanistan. Airbnb is dropping a lawsuit against New York City over a new state law that fines those who rent out their entire living space for less than 30 days. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sunny skies today at 67 degrees, 64 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 46 inland and on the shores. It's partly cloudy for Sunday at 65 degrees, 62 in Bodega Bay. Monday, mostly sunny skies at 60, 57 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350. And the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Tis the season to win a new Jeep at Graton Resort and Casino's Holly Jolly Jeep Giveaway. Win a 2017 Jeep Wrangler or your share of $50,000 cash. Drawings Friday, December 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd. One Jeep winner and 50 cash winners every Friday, guaranteed. Win a new Jeep Wrangler with Graton Resort and Casino's Holly Jolly Jeep Giveaway. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Chosen wisely this morning, it is Garden Talk. Garden Talk at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California, celebrating our 30th anniversary for Garden Talk and the upcoming Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash. Hopefully you'll be able to stick around and enjoy that conversation. We're welcoming Ali Bazzari to the program. He has a brand new book that's very exciting called Ingredient, and we will get to meet Ali and find out what he's up to. He's a culinary researcher and scientist and should put a very different slant on our Good Food Hour today. And one of you will win an autographed copy of this most unique book. I know you will spend a lot of time enjoying it. So my citrus is just about ripe. My Meyer lemon in the front yard, getting ready to be picked. How's yours looking?
They're coming along. There's probably a few that are ready to pick, and the others are coming along. And I have a funny story to tell, though. It just reminded me of Meyer Lemons. My farmer friend, Gary Blossy, who we had on the air last year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Joey Smith.
Great farmer.
I was talking to him last week, and he said he was looking out his kitchen window one day, and he was looking at his Meyer Lemon tree, you know, seeing what they're doing. And he noticed this little mouse underneath the tree. And he's looking at it and looking at it, and he's like, oh, you know, I really don't have the heart to kill him because he looks so much like Mickey Mouse. So here's this grown man, farmer, and he didn't have the heart to kill him.
A reprieve.
Yeah.
He gave the mouse a reprieve because it was so cute.
Mickey Mouse. So, wow. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Gary's going to put some little cheese plates out there for him now,
marvelous.
Too.
Well, it wasn't, quote, a rat.
No.
It was
a
mouse.
It was a little mouse. He was just watching it underneath the lemon tree. And if he's listening, he's probably, you know, laughing because I said this or not.
636-1350. We've gone through about 10, 12 calls already. And we just cleared the line. So if you'd like a word with Gwen, no waiting now. 636-1350. She's helped thousands of listeners and thousands of listeners in her newspaper column in the Press Democrat, which appears first and third Saturdays of every month, co-written with the lovely Dana. And that program, that actually column has been on for almost 30 years itself. 636-1350 to reach us now at Garden Talk or Steve at KSRO.com. What plants absolutely have to be protected from frost?
All your citrus, except the Owari, Satsuma, Mandarin, Orange. That was developed by UC Davis. Which is the most frost-resistant, isn't it? Yes, yeah. Unless you get down into the low 20s, which we did one year. But if not, that can handle our frost. Bougainvilleas, lantanas. There's a lot of lantanas out there. What else?
Fuchsias?
Passion flower vines. Some of those... Oh. Fancy hybrid varieties need to be. Fuchsias, yeah. Definitely your hanging basket fuchsias. There are some varieties that are tall and they can grow in the garden. They're not going to be affected.
Lettuces, yeah.
So unless you have a real cold hardy variety, but still, I would go ahead and put a layer of frost cloth on them. But for sure, the lettuces.
And what about all the succulents?
Succulents, yes. Well, not all of them. Some of them can handle the frost, and you need to know, if you don't know if you have a frost-sensitive one or not, just throw frost cloth on everything, and it's better to be safe than sorry.
Okay.
And don't miss one night. I mean, you know how many times we've heard people, you'd take it on.
May I raise my hand? Can I raise my hand for that one?
Go ahead. You did. You're guilty. You know, it just takes one night where you forget to put it on or you think we're not going to get any heavy frost, and then wham, it just takes one night to do the damage. And then there you go.
Dave Fazio and I talked with Rachel last week about coming up with frost tender solutions. And of course, Dave said, you know, I still swear by the old Christmas lights. But he said, unfortunately, all the old Christmas lights are no longer available.
Yeah.
The ones that actually gave out a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
Now they're all the LED types, which I'm sorry, they don't give any heat at all.
Yeah,
that's not really the world. But if you got the old style, don't throw them away. Look for them at yard sales.
Yes,
buy them because
yes.
They give just enough heat to actually probably give a degree or two of protection if wrapped around a citrus tree.
Probably, I would think a couple more degrees. That's why they've been so successful.
Yeah.
So check the Goodwill and the Salvation Army and see if those guys have those lights too.
Oh yeah. Ah.
So, yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah. But the frost cloth is certainly. The best idea.
Yeah, and you know, the
and the anti-transparent,
cloth, yeah,
the cloud cover.
That only goes down to a certain degrees, and I can't remember if it's 26 or 28, something like that. But if you know we're going to get hit with a hard frost, then you might have to go with some extra blanketing or something to give it that extra protection because that frost cloth alone will not help.
Okay. Jeff calling is from Grayton, California, the beautiful metropolis of Grayton. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Hey, I have a question regarding composting.
Good question.
I have fresh chicken manure, you know, with the pine shavings that I use. And I also have wood ashes. And I want to know, you know, how I incorporate those into my compost or into my garden, especially with the chicken manure. I don't know if I should compost that or add it directly to the garden, what I should do with that.
If you're not going to plant anything in your garden, you can go ahead and sprinkle it out there. You could put it in a pile in your garden area where you're not doing anything and just pile it up out there and let it sit over winter and then let it decompose down. And then you can spread it out in your garden in the springtime. You could just put it in your compost pile with sprinkling your wood ashes in it and mix it all up.
Okay.
Or you could take your wood ashes and sprinkle them around the garden. And like I was telling Linda about her wood ashes, the same thing, what to do with them. As long as you don't dump piles of wood ashes in your garden, because it depends on the wood that you're using, it could change the pH of the soil. It could just get gross and yucky. So, you know, spreading it out as evenly as possible. And, yeah, either put it all in a compost pile, in a cage thing where you can mix it up, or just dump the chicken manure in a pile in your garden where you're not going to be growing this year, and add your wood, ashes to that, and mix it up there so you don't have to move stuff around. That's whatever's the most convenient is what I would do. The easiest.
So if I do the chicken manure separately, I would really want to let that sit over the winter, huh?
Yes.
A few months.
Yes. Okay. Unless you have an area where you want to put it around plants and use it as a mulch, because if it sits on top of the soil, it's not going to hurt your plants. It's when you mix fresh manure into the soil and then you plant something in there.
Too hot.
Then it could, it gets too hot. But, you know, at this time of the year, I doubt it's going to get too hot. But, you know.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay, fantastic. I think I'm just going to add it to my compost pile. I just started a big old compost pile, and I think I'd just do that. Sprinkle some ashes in, you know, each time I add something.
Yep. Just,
I don't have a lot of wood ash anyway.
And, you know, and just get a pitchfork, and you can always flip it around, and there you go. And then they add, if you have more wood ashes that you really don't want to go into that compost pile, there you go. Sprinkle it around in the garden.
Okay.
And get rid of it that way. So.
All right, fantastic. I sprinkle some of them around the redwood trees here out here, too.
Okay, anywhere in your garden.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good way to add a little bit of nutritional value into the soil, and there you have it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I have some of the wood ash, so it's a good way to
recycle.
Recycle it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Good question.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for the help. I really appreciate it. Your show is awesome. I listen to it every weekend.
Thank you.
We love it. Thanks for your call and your support. We have an email question we'll get to in just a moment. I want to remind folks, if you're looking for something really fun to do, I can vouch for this. Today is the Lighting of the Snowmen Holiday Festival. I have gone to this the past couple of years. Actually, I've gone to this the past 10 years. It's in its 12th year. The annual Lighting of the Snowmen has become a Sonoma Valley holiday tradition. It is today, the Lighting of the Snowmen. It's a festival, an actual lighting, today, December 3rd. And it's out there at Cornerstone. You remember Cornerstone, the new home of Sunset Magazine? Mm-hmm. We've had them on several times over the past couple of years. It starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. It goes till 8 o'clock. There's holiday decorations. There's lights. There's holiday music. There's kids' activities, including face painting and felt ornament making. So the kids are not, when are we going to go? It's boring. You know, that refrain. Great for grandkids, too, by the way. Jolly old St. Nick handing out candy canes. There's something called the Fig Rig, which I don't know what that is. There's hot soups, there's beer, there's wine, there's champagne, there's the Sweet Scoops ice cream cart, there's hot coffee, there's hot chocolate. Do it. It's really a lot of fun. It's out at Cornerstone, out in Sonoma. It doesn't say there's a cost of admission. I think it's free because we got this press release. Doesn't say anything about admission. That's out there at, Highway 128.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little bit east of Sonoma. Mm-hmm. You can't miss it. Cornerstone, the holiday lighting of the snowmen. You have to see this. They've got, I don't know, 100, 150 little plastic snowmen on top of the hills, and that'll remain up through the entire holiday season. 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock today. We'll be right back.
The Drive with Steve Jackson, weekdays 3 to 6 on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products.
Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in the North Bay Area? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the North Bay Area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. The North Bay Area is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-385-3165. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-385-3165. That's 1-800-385-3165.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRL, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
Congratulations to David Cotting and Melissa Williams on another great summer of free live concerts at Montgomery Village. Tribute bands representing the Beatles, the Stones, Elton John, Jimmy Buffett, and even Frank Sinatra. Plus dozens more provided free live music every weekend and many Thursdays. But the big winners were local nonprofits who received almost $100,000 in donations. Thanks to Montgomery Village and their concert sponsors, Rodney Strong, Corbell, and Eagle Distributing. An eight-year total of nearly $500,000 has been raised for local nonprofits. Thanks to Montgomery Village.
Why not share your good news with me? My email is lawrence@mysonomamedia.com.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRL. How can we be of assistance?
Yes, I have a grapefruit and an orange tree in my front yard. Have had it there for years. The orange has never produced any fruit. The grapefruit, year before last, had a lot of nice fruit on it. Every year, there's a flurry of growth on it. And I head it back, and I think I might be cutting off my supply of fruiting branches. How do you decide what to cut?
Well, this is about, you're talking about your orange tree, right?
Orange and grapefruit.
Okay. Well, did you plant these as plants?
Yes.
Years ago?
Yes.
Okay, are they in sun all day long?
All day long.
All day long. Okay, they're in the ground. They're not in containers.
That's correct.
Okay, where do you live? What town are you in?
Hillsburg.
You're in Hillsburg. Okay, even better. You really don't, did it ever fruit the citrus?
Yes.
Any of the orange tree fruited for you at some point?
The grapefruit did. The orange never did.
Okay. Did the orange tree ever die back in the frost? Got hit with the frost, it died back, and you pruned it, and then it came back again?
No.
That never happened? How old are these trees?
They might be 7 years, 6 or 7 years of age.
And the orange never fruited. Okay, your pruning might have something to do with it. It's hard to tell until you stop pruning it and see if it goes ahead and generates some fruiting buds.
Okay.
So are you fertilizing with any kind of fertilizers?
Yes, the citrus fertilizer.
And how often are you using that?
I think in the spring is when I've been doing it.
Okay. And the plant is green and growing and healthy looking? Is it a dark green?
Oh, like crazy.
Okay.
Like crazy.
Okay.
But a light green for the new growth and a lot of thorns.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if you got your true orange variety that you planted. Somewhere along the line, something happened maybe to the main plant and the rootstock has taken over. Or I could be totally wrong. Look at the base of the plant and see if you have one stalk that's coming up and then eventually it branches out. But if close to the base, close to the ground, you have multiple shoots coming out, then you don't have a true variety of an orange. You've got the rootstock.
I don't have that, what you just said. I do not. The grapefruit, year before last, I had great production, but only 1 year. So I've been, thinking that they're all suckers, the new growth. So maybe I should keep my pruner off of it for a year and see where it goes.
Yeah, that's what I would do, and I would cut back on that fertilizer. Just stop fertilizing and just put mulch on top of the soil. Watch your watering. Give it regular watering, any kind of organic matter on the soil, no more fertilizer, no pruning, and let's see what those plants do this spring. But you're going to have to call me back in the springtime. Let's just take a few months at a time here, one thing at a time, two things at a time.
All right.
No fertilizer, no pruning.
So that's your job, Paul.
All right. Thanks very much. You guys got a great program going there.
Thank you. And you have to call us back and let us know.
We have your number, Paul. We'll be calling you if you don't call us.
we have to go to the next step.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for the call. We'll be right back after this.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California, 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you three quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
This holiday season, feel your spirit as well as your Christmas list. Shop the Artisan Craft Fair and Holiday Festival at the Center for Spiritual Living on Occidental Road in Santa Rosa. Over 60 local artisans will be featured and so much more. Plan to stay a while. There'll be magicians, dancers, and live music. Plenty of unique items to see, food, and raffle and silent auction. Have the kids in tow? No problem. There's fun for them too, including Santa and Mrs. Claus. Everything at this fair is handmade by local artisans, from oil paintings to birdhouses, upcycled clothing to stone carvings, and skincare products to succulent gardens. You won't be able to leave without finding the perfect gift for someone or for yourself. That's the Artisan Craft Fair and Holiday Festival, Saturday, December 10th from 10 to 4, at Center for Spiritual Living on Occidental Road in Santa Rosa. For more information, go to CSLSR.org and click on the Artisan Craft Fair and Holiday Festival.
Well, Gwen, it's time to bid you adieu.
Adieu. you too.
Well, we'll see you next Saturday. How about that?
Yes.
Same place at the KSRO Greenhouse.
I'll be here.
Have a wonderful week of gardening.
You too.
You and to all of our wonderful listeners. Stick around. It's Chef John Ash on the KSRO Good Food Hour with special guest Ali Bazzari. I think you'll find this young man very enlightening and entertaining. Mm-hmm. But first, it's the news.
Okay. Bring it on.
That's wonderful. Okay, it is KSRO Santa Rosa.